Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The body of a special needs man was found buried in a Burleson yard. And now his parents are behind the bars.
The body of 26-year-old Jonathan Kinman was found in a shallow grave at his parents' home on White Oak Lane. During an initial welfare check, police gathered information suggesting that Kinman might have died and was buried in the backyard. The special needs man lived with his parents. His mother and stepfather have been arrested on a charge of tampering with physical evidence with the intent to impair a human corpse.
I want to offer our condolences to the family members and friends that cared for Jonathan and came forward to report this. This was also very heartbreaking to our officers on the scene and the staff that handled it.
The cause of Kinman's death has yet to be determined. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Richardson police looking for a guy that assaulted someone at a DART station Saturday night. Police say the victim got off at the Spring Valley station and headed north when the attack happened. They tell us the guy they're looking for is tall, heavy, a black man in his 30s, about 250 pounds. He has neck-length hair that's in dreadlocks, and it has bleached ends. By the time of the attack, he wore a black or gray T-shirt and pants. This investigation is still early, but the police are asking anyone with any information to reach out.
Well, fire investigators are working to figure out what caused a home to explode and then catch fire in the colony.
The blast and massive flames lit up the night sky.
It was like a huge explosion that like the whole entire house trembled like really bad.
The colony firefighters rushing to the 4600 block of Freeman Drive just after 1 a.m. Monday. Fire engulfed a house, spreading to properties on both sides. A firefight growing to a three-alarm fire. By daylight, the threat of hot spots remained. Fire officials telling NBC5 it's unclear if anyone was in the house at the time of the explosion, but no injuries were reported. Next door, Brandon Luna was home and felt the blast to his core.
And then all of a sudden I hear huge explosion. The house shook. The shockwaves felt like it kind of travels through you.
Fortunately, Luna was able to escape and even went back inside for two cats. His parents' home badly damaged. Neighbors say the exploded house was only recently listed for sale.
That is NBC5's Maria Guerrero reporting.
Early voting now underway across the state. 17 constitutional amendments in the hands of the voters.
Property tax relief has been one of Governor Abbott's emergency items for Texas, and Proposition 13 addresses increasing the homestead exemption.
For the first $140,000 evaluation of your home, it will not be subject to the school district property taxes, which is the largest bulk of your property tax bill.
Whether Texas invests $3 billion to establish the Dementia Prevention and Research Institute is Proposition 14. State Rep Tom Craddock.
This could be the way we finally cure Alzheimer's and other dementia problems in the state and in the country.
Another of Abbott's priorities is Prop 3. It would require judges to deny bail to violent offenders. In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It is now 5:07. So meanwhile, in Tarrant County, voters are going to be filling the state Senate seat vacated by Kelly Hancock, who is now the acting state controller.
It's something called a jungle primary. That's because there's no primary, actually. All of the candidates who register for the race appear on the ballot. Senate 9 has been represented by a Republican for 34 years. Most think it's an uphill battle for Democrat Taylor Remmitt. The two Republicans running are John Huffman and Lee Wamsgans. Huffman has got big backing from the Las Vegas Sands Corporation. He wants to send the issue of gambling to Texas voters. Wamsgans is against legalized gambling. From the 24-hour news center, Russell Scott, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Know what you think. We all got fired up yesterday with the Cowboys win over the Washington Commanders. Beat them, doubled them up, 44-22. And they're going to bring in Bobby Belt right now, Cowboys insider upstairs at 105.3 The Fan, in studio with us right now. Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, yeah, we got to hit that.
Guys.
There you go, there you
That's
go.
That's it, all right. I could have predicted that.
Yeah.
So, the defense. Defense played better, but that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, the bar doesn't have to be very high for the defense given how good the offense has been. So
yeah,
they are playing at such a ridiculously high level on offense and totally in command of everything that they want to do, that if you were just getting, I was saying it to somebody walking out of the stadium yesterday, I said, if you were just getting even a below average defense, just not an awful defense, but below average, and you were getting it consistently, this team would win 14 games because they're just that good offensively. So you'll take performances like that yesterday pretty consistently because this offense can run with just about anybody in the NFL. So a positive start, but certainly not anything that you're feeling like all the problems on defense are fixed.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about. Can this offense keep it up? I mean, are they built for all year like this?
Yeah, it feels like they've got a switch that they can just flip. Like they did it at the end of the first half yesterday. And when they just decide, like, all right, we're going to go down there and we're going to score, it seems like they're able to do that. So that's the exciting thing. And it's funny because they're still a little flawed. Their pass protection's not very good. It's not consistent enough. But, I mean, all of the weapons, Jake Ferguson, your tight end, the two receivers, George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, they're all in such real good rhythm with each other. And then I know a lot of people don't think of a running back and the offensive line doesn't need to have any chemistry, but they do. And so the running back, Javonte Williams, the feel he has for setting up his blockers, the way the blockers have a sense of where he's going to cut, it's a really nice, well-rounded offense that's just really, really difficult to stop.
I have to ask you about Pickens. I'm glad you mentioned him. He's playing so well, and he is going to command such an incredible amount of money at the end of this season. I mean, with the money they've got going to CD and Dak, I mean, is this his one season with the Cowboys?
Well, I mean, look, the good news is that the agent for George Pickens is the same one as Micah Parsons. So you know that the negotiation will go really smooth.
We're in trouble. Yeah, that's right.
No, yeah, look, I mean, and Jerry talked about that yesterday. He was asked about it, and he said that, look, that was its own standalone thing, and I don't – the agent was not the problem, and the agent will not be the problem. And so they want George Pickens here. But yeah, there's a question about, is that the wisest allocation of your resources in a salary capped league? But man, they've got such a strong chemistry right now. If you were to invest that in a wide receiver, then you better believe all those draft picks they got from Green Bay and the ones they currently have, you're throwing every single last one of them at defense, because you're not going to be able to have anything other than young, cheap talent on the defensive side of the ball
true.
At that point.
How about Brandon Aubrey? How ridiculous is this guy?
I mean, honestly, the most impressive thing I saw him do yesterday was after the safety, he had to kick from the opposite 20-yard line, and he kicked a touchback and went 83 yards in the air. And so he is the most absurd individual I've ever seen kick a football. And so he was getting love from Dez Bryant after the game, who was hanging out down in the tunnel area. And Brandon Aubrey was kind of starstruck a little bit, but Dez was just heaping all this love on him and telling him how great he is. And he is, he has become such a ridiculous weapon for them that almost sometimes it's a detriment because they call things a little conservatively just because they're like, oh, we're in a range that we feel
don't
we can
worry
score
about
right
it.
Here. Yeah, but he's been fantastic for them and is about the – if you're going to just talk about how good they are at their job, he's the best player at his job in the NFL.
All right, I got to ask you about this, and I don't know if you've heard anything. What's going on with Trayvon Diggs? I mean, is he I mean, it didn't seem like they really missed him all that much. I don't know. Does he want to be here?
I think he wants to be here. It's he had this issue Friday. They have this odd announcement that he's suffered a concussion at home the night before, which anytime there's an athlete and an injury that occurs at home, people are always just kind of raising an eyebrow of like, did it really, though? And yeah. So there's all these questions about it. Jerry seemed a little skeptical about it yesterday when he's talking about it, but they have kept it quiet as to what exactly happened. And so they said they did expect him to be available this week. That's just a very tense relationship. Ever since he got his contract here, they just have not felt like he's been the same player or, I think, person, locker personality type that they thought they were paying.
Funny things happen at home, right? Scotty Scheffler sure. Cut his hand open, right?
Yeah.
Derek Holland tripped over the dog.
All right, Darren McFadden, same thing.
But yeah. This is Diggs. He's one of those guys that there's always something with him, so yeah, I don't necessarily know. You know, I just got a concussion, man. Accident. Shoot, what happened?
It happens.
I'm not going to be able to come in today. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
And then we got Denver coming up. Now, this is a weird team.
Yeah, Denver has – that does not look like the loss on the schedule it did a couple weeks ago. That's a team that, even though they're 5-2, they have struggled a great deal in a lot of different instances. But, man, you have won a Super Bowl more recently than you've beat the Denver Broncos. The last time they beat the Broncos was the 1995 regular season.
And wow, so I didn't know that.
It's been a while. And Sean Payton is obviously the one that got away for Jerry Jones years ago as the head coach of the Broncos. So if you can go into Denver, you can win a game there, and you can beat – Sean Payton, I think Jerry will basically be floating home from Denver. So.
No doubt. Bobby, thanks. Appreciate you coming by. Bobby Belt, Cowboys insider with us here on KRLD this Monday morning. Cowboys at 3-3-1 on the year.
I'll take it. I'm telling you, man, and like you said, Denver is not the team that, a 5-2, but it took a heroic effort for them to beat the Giants yesterday.
So I mean, maybe we can
win.
They were down 3 touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. They pulled off a miracle.
I know, but the Mile High City, man, there's just something weird in the air.
It's tough. It's the fan base. It's the altitude. It's a tough place to play.
It's dropped some this year, despite the fact that it had great weather for the entire 3.5 weeks. The fair announced it brought in more than 2 million people for the event, but that's down 385,000 compared to last year's fair. On today's Ask the Expert, we're joined by UTD Professor Ted Benavides. He's also a former city manager for the city of Dallas. He's in the KRLD Zoom room. So it's interesting how we look at an estimate attendance of more than 2 million people and we're disappointed.
Right. It's sort of like being a Netflix president, If your membership doesn't go up, and if you have 2.5 million people on average and you want to move at 1%, that's 25,000 new visitors. Mm-hmm. So when you go down, that's much harder to explain, or you have to justify and say, what are you doing? What's going on? So,
yeah. And how was the state fair justifying this attendance?
I think that, I personally think the number one factor for me was it's too hot. I exercise every day, all day long. And I tell you, it's been on average 10 to 15% higher this days in October than it was in historical. So I think that had something to do with it. I think also too, that the prices might've gotten to a point where it was a tipping point. I think in the national economy, the inflation, things like that, or kind of job creation, are kind of, uncertain. Nobody knows if they're really going up or down, but it's making everybody queasy. And I think that also might have led into people less willing to spend money on everything they wanted to go to.
But how much did prices actually go up at the state fair this year? Because every year, it seems that things are expensive, but why did people notice it so much this year?
It could be that they're used to their salaries growing, and maybe they haven't, or they've had unexpected expenses. And so I know I've been looking at my budget quite a bit now, trying to carve little things out every second, So I want, not that I don't want to spend money, it's just that I want to spend it differently now. And people are making choices every day. It's just like, do I get on the toll road? How bad do I need to get on the toll road? Oh, it's my wife flying in. Okay, I'm going to spend that. Okay, but if it's me just going down the street, no. And I think we all have to. That's why it's where we spend is so important, is to everybody that's out there trying to get our money.
Yeah, really.
How we do.
really interesting. The State Fair is saying that the vendors, you know, set their price, and that's something that they're going to address next year with them. And, you know, the State Fair was continuously trying to pump out the message. They have discounted days. They have discounts on their website. How much did that effort, you know, help? And what suggestions would you have for them next year as they, you know, take in consideration what they did do this year and what to continue and what not to?
I think they can do so many things. They're probably going to have to look at their navel again and say, go to the vendor and say, was it, we lost, did we lose people from all the economic spectrum or just the high or the low or something? Did our prices move that much? You know, they can't tell. I don't think it'd be a good idea to tell the vendors what to do because they're private enterprise. But I think that they all should be sensitive to that. And maybe the State Fair should change the events that they have, the time of day they have. You know, you can't do anything about the weather, but you can change the mix. And maybe what they offered wasn't that popular this year. Maybe that fad is gone or that trend is gone. They need a new trend.
That's UTD Professor Ted Benavides on Ask the Expert.
All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.